greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Paul talks about being uniform, of one mind, and being like-minded. And I like to talk about uniformity this morning. And we don't hear too many references of Greek mythology and, you know, how does they apply to us. But I'm going to start out with a little story about Procrustes. He was a Greek bandit. But if you slept at his place, he had only one requirement. You had to fit the bed, his bed. If you were too long, you were shortened. If you were too short, you were stretched. But you had to fit his bed. Well, so in our culture, we have uniformity. We would have language, we would have dress. The Chinese thought that binding the feet of the elite women was one way of showing uniformity. And we have instances of history where uniformity was required. Maybe the most, I don't know the most, but maybe the most recent one would have been Germany. They thought that they were politically unified through their genetics. And the orator of that time convinced them that they were far superior than any other race or humans. Uniformity. So I'm not here to talk about cultural political uniformity, even though they're interesting to study history and how that has played out. But I want to talk about us as Christians and the voice that we carry across our land. I know that police officers, if they're at all suspicious of the subjects in the vehicle, where they started, what they're doing, and where they're going to end up at, they'll bring in two police officers and they'll question each one separately. And they'll compare their stories. The officers will. If it's confusing, then they're really suspect. Similarly, to us as Christians, I think it's equally important that we as Christians are very careful and humble as we reveal the portrait of Christ. A couple weeks ago, I talked about how confusing and frustrating it was for me to stand in a slave castle. But even more so, people who haven't heard about Christ's plan and his salvation for mankind, we daren't skew that image of Christ. And if you think back through history, Christianity has at times taken advantage of its name. It has forced people to do things. You take over a city and you make everybody adhere. Baptize them whether you want it or not. Turn with me this morning. I want to read out of John chapter 17. John 17 is a prayer. He prays for himself. Jesus prays for himself. He prays for his disciples. And he prays for all believers at the end. And as we go down through here, I want you to hear what, I mean, we can read Jesus' words, but what is his most deepest desire as he talks and as he prays? I would imagine, we guess that the disciples were along. It just starts out and says, after these words Jesus spake and lifted his eyes to heaven. But I suspect his disciples were with him. So I'd like to start reading in verse 6. And I want you to concentrate on the matter, maybe more than the words. Verse 6, John 17. We'll read to the end of the chapter. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou gavest me. For they are thine, and all mine are thine. And thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the word and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray now that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, thou and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them, and thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, verse 23 there's a couple of verses here that really stand out to me on what Christ is praying here. And I believe that as the apostles, the disciples and the apostles went out from Christ, and as they portrayed Christ, imagine the damage that would have done if the early apostles and disciples would have portrayed anything but Christ crucified and the resurrected Christ, and that he was raised the third day. He came for mankind. He came to save you. He came to save us. And it is a daunting task as you think of the world and the Christians and sort of the diversity, if I may use that term, in Christendom, how Christ is portrayed. And it's hard for us to control what happens with you and with me. And I was reminded how important it is to speak forth with clarity and with unity as people. This past week, I sitting in my usual spot at the coffee shop, and a man came in. He was really, really disgruntled. And I mentioned to him something and why he looked a little bit upset, and he started talking about his desires to do something in Yoder, and you know, it doesn't look like it's going to work, and he was very, very upset, and he was talking about doing something shady to get past regulations, and I just let him finish. Before he got finished, I already had my little, I was preparing my speech. And this is not about me, but you know, I just thought, this just isn't right. We have people sitting here that may or may not know Christ. And so when he finished, I looked at him and I said, that would not be a good choice. He said, why not? And I said, you represent a group of people in this community. And when you speak forth, if you want to speak forth in this way of being a little dishonest, you speak for your people and your community. I said, it's not a fair representation of the people, of your people. And there were other things said. It was mostly sort of monologue here. And at the end, he just sort of hung his head and he said, you're right, you're right. And it just made me aware that what you as brethren do through the week, if we don't do things with a sense of uniformity, if your business dealings aren't fair, if people feel that they're mistreated by you, they're going to look at me and they're going to wonder about me. They're not going to have a sense of confidence. I've never heard anybody stand up in church and say, maybe I have, I'm not sure. Maybe I should probably say, I probably shouldn't say never, but seldom do you hear somebody stand up in church and say, I misrepresented you as a brotherhood this week in this. But when we do things that aren't aligned with Scripture, we do give out a sense and perception about the rest of us here. And it's broader than just you that are in these pews this morning. So my challenge this morning is that we're faithful stewards of truth to a world that so desperately needs a uniform truth. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, you spoke so clearly, as did the apostles who wrote as well in your holy word, that you desire a sense of uniformity among your people. And dear Lord, I pray that our lives, our speech, our reactions, our actions, and even in those moments where we don't say words, that it would be a true portrayal of Jesus Christ. Give us patience to those of us who lack patience. Give us truth when it would be so easy to smudge the truth. And give us a heart to speak forth the blessings that your people have. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for preparing a place for us. May we worship you today, and may you be honored. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.